Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. If you like to do that, there's an open forum for that, because that's how much I care. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 156 of the show. It's coming to you a little bit late. I was debating on whether I should put one out this week or just wait till I nab a guest, and I'm close to nabbing a guest. So maybe that you'll have a guest next week, but right now it's just me talking to you a little bit. I don't know how long this is going to go, but I feel like I owe it to you. I feel like it's my obligation to the 15 of you that listen to this show to really give you, so you could hear my voice this week while you're living your life post Valentine's Day. Hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day with your loved one or by yourself. This was the first Valentine's Day in a long time that I was not by myself, because if you follow me on Facebook, you would know that I did have a Valentine. My Star Wars Elite Series diecast action figure of Rey and BB-8. So they spent Valentine's Day with me. And so I wasn't alone. I don't know. I'm really into these. I think Star Wars sort of rekindled a passion, a love of action figures. I think if I was wealthy, well, there's a couple things I would do. Quite a few things that I would do if I was wealthy. I'll get to that. Not even wealthy, or just like rich, or hood rich, or nigga rich. I wanted this. This was I noticed on the stores that are around me to try to get some of these action figures. It's so hard to get. And if you go online, you go on eBay and they hike the price up. And so I was like, look, I want to get this. I want to get the Finn Stormtrooper Black Series action figure. This portion of the show is just really drying up all of the vaginas of the female listeners. And I'm sorry. I will try to moisten them back up later. Ooh, oh, God. Sorry. Hope my mom doesn't listen to this one. She doesn't listen, but I was excited. So I want the Finn FN2187 action figure, and I got the Rey diecast, cause the Black Series, Rey does not look that good. This one looks good that I got, and I got a Finn. So I got the, maybe like the 12-inch Finn action figure, which is okay. I just got that. That was like my gateway drug into getting these, other figures, but I have like they're just a regular Finn Black Series when he's not in his Stormtrooper uniform. I don't think any of you guys care about that, but so I think if I get that Finn, I ordered that from eBay, paid a reasonable price, did not break the bank with either of those, so I'm happy. Now, if I was balling. There's a company called Hot Toys that makes, I think they make these 12-inch renderings of these characters, of a bunch of action figures. If you just go to hottoys.com, I think, and you can see the way the detail, and they look so amazing. These action figures cost $200 a piece. I'm not doing that. I'm not balling like that. A guy can dream, but if I had a place, like I would get some of those and display them. That would be fun. I would do that. But I did talk to, I did some filming of a show that I'm working on for MTV, which is my second episode of work there. Can't really go into full detail, but it's pretty cool. It's neat. And I was talking to one of the PA production guys, and we started talking about action figures, and he was a cool black guy. So he was much cooler than I am. So it made me feel good that I wasn't a complete nerd for talking about these action figures. And he was telling me, he was telling me all the stuff that you have to look for and all this stuff, like cool stuff like that. We've got a little inside baseball on the action figure thing. And so basically, long story short, I was not alone Valentine's Day because of my Ray and BB-8 action figures. And I got a pizza from Domino's. And what else did I do? I went to Walmart. Walmart, you always buy, you go in there for a couple of things, you always spend so much more money than you need to spend. And I bought the Blu-ray first episode 4, 5, and 6 of Star Wars on Blu-ray and DVD. Star Wars: A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, because I had traded in my original DVDs that I bought about 12 years ago. Yeah, 2004. Anyway, God, I'm rambling so much, guys. Wow. So that's what I did, and I just watched. I didn't watch the All-Star game. I was just watching. Was watching movies. I don't remember what I did, but I do have. I'll blab a little bit. I'll give you some movie reviews. I'll talk about a couple other things, and I'll talk about Kanye, and that'll be it. So this will get you through maybe one spreadsheet, maybe part of your TPS report for the day, for the week. So comedy, I really didn't do, I think I didn't do any shows this week. I was working all week. I had to cancel a show because I was working. I was acting. I was actually doing some show business stuff. So that was cool. What I can do is I can give you some dates. Let's give you some, I'll give you the comedy dates later. How about that? I'll give you the comedy dates later. So I was filming a thing, and I had a long week, and I filmed in Connecticut for 2 days, and that was Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday and Friday worked. Friday, I think Thursday, I said to myself, I want to see a play. I want to go. My birthday's coming up. I'm going to be 36. I just want to, one of my resolutions is to be less fat. The other is to spend money more on experiences as opposed to stuff. Now, I already contradicted myself by getting action figures. It's only three. It's three since the spring. Since late fall, four. So I've got three Star Wars action figures. That's not even $100. I haven't even spent $100 on it. So don't judge me, okay? So I said I'm going to spend less money on stuff with my somewhat disposable income, and more money on experiences. So I was like, I want to see a play. And I saw this commercial about this show called Blackbird. Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber, The Newsroom, so many different shows. And Michelle Williams, a two-person play, 90 minutes, starring in this play called Blackbird. And it's right now it's on previews on Broadway. And I want to give you a synopsis. Well, the wiki gives a blurb, but I don't know that I want to give you. If you read anything about it, it's going to give you. I just don't want to spoil anything if you decide to go see it. So let me. This looks like September 28th, 2015. Because I saw. You know how sometimes you see. I guess if you live in the New York area, you'll see commercials for plays. This play coming up, and it's a limited run, and you're gonna fucking shit on yourself when you see this play. And I was like, oh shit. It's like I like Jeff Daniels, but Michelle Williams, of Dawson's Creek fame. Like, I was talking to one of my coworkers who goes to a lot of theater. He goes to a lot of plays, and, we were talking, like, yeah, man, she was on Dawson's Creek, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, man, but she was good on that show. Like, Jen Lindley, she was fine, and she could emote. She could do what she needed to do. She got the job done. She's pretty. She did her thing. But after she left Dawson's Creek, like, she's had a string of films where she's just been killing it. I think she's maybe a three-time Oscar nominee, but she's a fucking beast. So I was like, oh, I want to see somebody cool live. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. So I bought the tickets, and my coworker put me on to some game. If you want to see a Broadway play at a relatively cheap price, you go to playbill.com and you look for discounts, and you click on the discounts and you put in the name of the play and you take it from there. There's also an app called Today Tix. There's so many different hookups to this, but some of my friends on Facebook who are theater nerds and theater people, they gave me a couple places, but Today Tix looks to be legit. Playbill is obviously legit. And I'm looking right now at the app on my phone, and I'm looking at Finding Neverland tickets from $45 on up, Something Rotten 37, and Fun Home 37 and up, Fun Home 59 and up. So like a bunch of these plays, like, you can see for a decent price, but I don't know where you're going to be sitting, you know? So Blackbird was an Olivier Award winning play for best play, but I want to see where. Okay, so I want to see. I'd like to see where I can find a synopsis. This is Blackbird. David Harrower's scorching play about an encounter between Ray, a male business executive, and Una, the woman he seduced 15 years earlier when she was 12 years old, will open on Broadway in this. Okay, so they basically tell you about that. So I'm guessing this is opening officially in March, but right now it's in previews. And for the non-theater people, that's basically where the play is running and the audience comes in to watch the play, but they're still trying to get all the kinks out and they're figuring stuff out. I could definitely tell that although the play was really good, they were definitely trying to get some kinks out. But overall, it was a good play. It was heavy at moments, but it was kind of like, if you remember when I was telling you guys about the way The Hateful Eight unfolded, like the actors just did a really good job at exposition, and you could really see the imagery in their words, because it's just these two people in a room and they're talking and they bring this thing to life. It's just something that film, as much as I love film, this play reminded me of how much I fucking love theater and the magic that happens around it. Cause it's super, like, I was talking to my coworker about it. it's super commercial because obviously it's Broadway and you got famous people starring in the play, but it's like, it's how I felt again about like that time when I went to the Barclays Center. It just seems like they herd you in. They're kind of mean. They're a little mean. They're kind of mean to you where they're like, don't, because it was freezing Friday. If anybody, if you live in the Northeast, you know, it was just extremely cold this past week. And so we didn't have to stand outside, but there were a handful of people waiting patiently to open. This place started at 8, a little after 8, and the house opened at 7:30. So it might have been 7:15, and people are standing in there. And they're like, oh, can you move over? And they're like, oh, God, it's enough room for everybody. And people that are coming to will call to get their tickets, it's not that big of a deal. But they're kind of being sticklers about that. And my coworker was saying, yeah, they're like that, but they make as much money or the same amount of money as the AMC that's in Times Square. You know, they, you know, so it's just like kind of treat us like fucking humans. I don't know. But it was a really good show. My only thing, I just noticed there was some, and I have to talk about this with some of my friends, where it was just like, I'll say this, if you live in New York area, you're coming to New York and you want to see a play, I would recommend it. It's heavy shit. But I think the people that came to the show, I don't know. I just, without reading you guys that synopsis, I knew it was going to be some shit, like a older man and a pretty much a young woman. You knew some shit happened, and there were some moments that were like, oh fuck. And it was good. And I was glad that I went. My only thing is I fucked up with parking, and I paid $40 for parking because I was, and I knew my coworker was going to be pissed at me. And I was like, fuck it. Cause I tried to use the ParkWiz app and it just wasn't working for me. And I should have used it. I should have did it the day before and paid like $16, but I'll know next time. But I felt bad about it. But I was like, you know what? It's my birthday. Parking garage is right across the street. And I enjoyed it was a good night out. Then I went to Shake Shack back in the burbs. So I hope to see a couple more, maybe one more before it closes in March. Smart People. And if I go see that, I will let you know about that too. But it was just it was fun. It made me remember how much it made me remember how much I love doing theater, how much I love watching it. Because when I was in Chicago, I had the luxury of a lot of my friends were theater people. They were actors, and I could go see their shows, you know, and for free. And I was doing a lot. And now, like, I think Scott Stanglin, my buddy Scott, who's been on the show, friend of the show, seen him, hope to be seeing him, excuse me, later on in the year, seeing him do his thing on Broadway again. And Danielle O'Farrell, who's doing her thing. So she did a show, God, that was in the, I think it was in the summer of last year. So yeah, I'm hoping to go see a lot more shows this year. So that was fun. Blackbird, good show, good ass acting. And if you could get to any of these, like I would say Today Tix, Playbill, the discount section on Playbill, all that jazz, it's good. Good times. Also, I did a really cool podcast called Swatches and Boomboxes, hosted by Neil Charles and Jim Search. This is a show where they have a guest on, and the guest selects an album, one of their favorite albums, and I think the premise of it is you select one of your favorite albums of the 90s, and you review the album, you talk about it and how it affected your life. And I picked, like, one guy, Lawrence DeLoach, who's a comic, New York comic, he picked Ready to Die. I didn't listen to that one yet. And I was on episode two. So, and I talked, we talked about Midnight Marauders. That's the album I chose. We talked about Tribe Called Quest and, you know, talked about rap music around that time and some of our favorite groups. And I felt like I fucked up my favorite groups because they ask you on the spot and you have to pick five of you. That particular top five, we had to pick favorite groups and I fucked up. And after I heard one of Neil's top five, I was like, fuck, why didn't I pick that? Ah! So you'll notice me saying that if you listen to that show. So it's a good show. And shout out to Neil and Jim, because I had the time mixed up. It was supposed to have been, I was supposed to hang out with them Thursday of this week, but I thought it was Thursday of last week. And I just went, because I was texting Neil, I was texting Jim. I was like, I don't know if I can make this date. But then he says, how about next Thursday? And he meant like the 18th. And I didn't realize that. So I was maybe 20 minutes from his place and I give him a call. I'm like, yeah, Jim, you know, I'm in traffic. I'm about to, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes away. Still don't know how long it's going to take me, but I'm pretty close. So, you know, don't hate me. He's like, Chris, you know that we scheduled you for the 18th. And I was like, no, like I had driven all the way down there in traffic to Brooklyn. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And they're like, well, you know what, Chris, just let me talk to Neil. See if we can get this thing going. I don't have anything going on tonight. Let me see what's going on with Neil. It was cool with Neil. Neil came through. We did a pod and they rearranged their schedule for me, man. And that was a beautiful thing. So those are some real, really good dudes. So if you're a fan of me, you like listening to this show and you know Jim, you may know Jim from the Three of Negroes podcast with Neruda Williams and Ray Sani. So if you're down with them, definitely check out Swatches and Boomboxes. Check out that podcast. It's on iTunes and it should be on Stitcher pretty soon. So, but I know definitely it's on iTunes. And I know Jim, when I was talking to Jim a couple days ago, he said that he was working the Stitcher thing out. So that was really fun and I really appreciate that. It warms my heart that they rearranged their schedules for me, because I looked like an asshole saying, guys, you know, I'm just really close and you know, hey. So thanks to those guys. And oh, I'm looking at this this thing about Blackbird. So it's an 18-week limited engagement at the Belasco Theater beginning February 5th, with opening set for March 10th. So there you go, guys. So it's a good show. It's 90 minutes. You're in and you're out. And it really seemed like it felt like it was longer in a good way. Like you just kind of get wrapped up in that world. I just got home from work not too long ago So apparently there was an ill-fated Beyonce boycott or protest in front of the NFL offices in New York. And I guess the white people that were mad at Beyonce's Super Bowl performance, they didn't show up. They just got all of their anger out on social media. And they got mad at Red Lobster. Look, I mean, I knew nobody's boycott. Their boycott of Beyonce is like the people that were mad that Star Wars had a black dude in it, that The Force Awakens had John Boyega in it. And yeah, so that means there was no boycott. Star Wars made if it's not a billion, close to $1 billion and still going. People are putting up a second mortgage on their house and all that shit to get Beyonce tickets to her formation tour. Man, I don't know. It's just like It's just like this Q-Tip song, that Tribe Called Quest song, Suck a Nigga. If you take the things that you take, that the way that black people have been treated in this country since they brought us over here, since we got over here, it's just, it's a uniqueness. It's a unique thing that no other culture, no other race has experienced. And it's different. And the way that we are treated, sometimes the other minorities are, sometimes other minorities are treated this, they're treated the same, but where's my brain? I'm sorry. We're treated. It's just, and then basically, if you're in a people, and a culture that's been oppressed for so long, and you take the things that you use, the weapons against that have been formed against you, and you use it to lift yourself up. You find a way to empower yourself amidst all of the negativity. Then the oppressors become afraid. That's all it is. They become afraid. They become threatened. They become offended. And, you know, you have the, 'cause she talks about her nose, her Creole, Southern heritage and all of that. The imagery in the video where, you know, it says stop killing us. Nobody said stop killing us, but it was written in graffiti. Somebody wrote it. That stuff is happening. Like, black people are getting killed. It is what it is. I know that's fucking cliche, but that's what it is. And off the top, and Dan Le Batard and Bomani Jones brought up a good point on Highly Questionable, and I think they've said it on the, Dan Le Batard said it on his radio show, but as that performance was going on, I don't think many people knew that that was a tribute to the Black Panthers. For the most part, a lot of people were initially saying it was a tribute to Michael Jackson and his Super Bowl performance. Where he had his that militaristic type uniform going, and you know, you're watching Beyonce, who's super hot. You're watching her dance around and jiggle, and all those other brown skin, chocolatey women jiggle, and it was dope. And people were like, you know, she released a video on a Saturday afternoon. People went ape shit over it. I didn't know the video had come out because I was in Connecticut and I was talking to the homie Big Doe. I was giving you a podcast and I was doing comedy. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I watched it. I was like, all right, that's what's up. I see why people getting psyched. And she's talking about the hot sauce. She's talking about Red Lobster. And people got excited over that. And I just think when an oppressed people starts finding dignity and empowerment, that scares people. And that gives you that false outrage and shock. That's pretty much it. And it gives you those think pieces, whereas people who are of that class, of that oppressed class, won't think too highly of it. It's all, the video is whack or it's bullshit. If you just break down the lyrics, it's whack, it's this, it's that. But it's causing people to react in a certain way. And that's what art does. That's what good art does. That's what it does. It makes people talk. And that's what she's doing. And Beyonce knows what she's doing, you know? And then Kendrick Lamar performed last night at the Grammys. I really didn't watch the Grammys. I just wanted to see his performance. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. And I thought it was cool. It was turned up. He had a picture of, he had African dance going on. It looked like look like an Alvin Ailey hip hop mashup. And then at the end, he struck a pose and there was a big picture of Africa with Compton written in the middle of it. And I was like, all right, I see you. I see you, man. And Kendrick, you know, he did his thing. I want to see what somebody said that Taylor Swift said took a shot at Kanye. And I don't know what she said. She took a shot at him. Somebody on the Taylor Swift takes down Kanye West an album of year speech. I'm clicking on this and seeing what it says. Let's see what she says. If there's a video, let's took things. I did see that he did like so. Kanye and his song, and I finally heard the album, The Life of Pablo, today. Listened to it on the way home. Talks about, he said, I made that bitch famous. And I was like, well, I mean, to a certain degree. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Is this what she said? Took the stage and delivered a stinging speech with a thinly... Okay, Swift's friends... Swift's friends and family reacted at the time. She herself did not. Until the night of the 2016 Grammys, that is. Upon scoring the evening's highest honor, Album of the Year, for her set, 1989, Swift took the stage and delivered a stinging speech with an only thinly veiled dig at Kanye. As the first woman to win Album of the Year at the Grammys twice, she noted coolly, I want to say to all young women out there, there are going to be people along the way who will try to undercut your success or take credit for your accomplishments or your fame. Love her or hate her, Taylor watchers have to admit one thing. Girl has timing. Okay. I mean, whatever. She was already famous before that moment at the VMAs, but Kanye took that to another level. And I think really, I mean, who really gives a shit? But Taylor Swift's gonna always win in the eyes of the media. There's nothing Kanye can say or do. But hey, man, she spoke her truth. And Kanye spoke his truth. And they was talking about, like, there was something where he okayed it with her and she said it was all right. And then when the song came out, she's like, I didn't say that. And Kanye said, you know, we talked about it. You said it was okay. Blase, blah. I mean, does anybody really give a shit? Kanye's trying to sell an album. Taylor Swift is a pop darling, just a pop star, pop queen, queen of pop. I don't know. She's got some good music. You know, me and Verzi were talking about her this summer. She's just good. She's a very good songwriter. She's good at what she does, man. They don't call it pop music for nothing, you guys. So just speaking of music, I did listen to The Life of Pablo on the way home, and off the first listen, I like it. It's fine. It's Kanye. I like it when Kanye talks that shit and when he's being arrogant. I don't know what other way to put it. I mean, there's some definitely, like, for Kanye to be as arrogant as he is, he sure does utilize a lot of talented people on his stuff. He has a lot of star power on his records, on his albums, you know, like he had Rihanna, you know, just throughout his oeuvre, if you will, throughout his career, he's teamed himself up with people who are hot at the moment, who are legends. I mean, like he had said record 30 Hours, which is kind of like a bonus track where he had just Andre 3000 just singing a little hook, you know, and he said something like, oh, one of the coldest of all time in reference to Andre 3000, you know, and he didn't have to say that. I mean, I don't know. I like Kanye, man. I think he's what a lot of people wish they could be, just the arrogance and the confidence. And you hear what people say sometimes, you know, he's masking some insecurity, and that may very well be true. But the guy is super talented. And now I'm seeing Kendrick Lamar does this performance at the Grammys, and I thought it was dope. Kendrick's great. I mean, you can go back to maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I reviewed Kendrick's records with the homie Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres, where we talk about, you know, like, this guy is great. He's fantastic. Before all the Grammys and all of that jazz, you know, he's been great. And it took me a while to get you know, hip to him. And I defended him on the homie J.L. Covan's podcast. And I want to see how many he won. He at least won 5, maybe, I want to say. I'm doing this, like, right. Guys, I'm sorry. Oh, how many did he win? His performance, how many? This is compelling podcasting. I wonder if you just go to his Wikipedia, will have they updated it so I could see where, how many he's won for, how many did he win last night? To Pimp a Butterfly. So he won, well, receive a number back of 7. 7? Ah, shit. Let me hold on. Okay, so it said he won 5. And that's dope. I'm happy for him, man. I'm happy to see an artist that you root for, and they evolve and they get better. And I got to listen to that album again. It's just really dense. I haven't listened to the only album I listened to multiple times, I would say, was the Hiatus Coyote Choose Your Weapon record. I mean, they're just so fantastic, and it's just so damn near every song. Pretty much every song is just so in the pocket that's just what I'm loving right now. And everything else, like, there's just been so many great releases last year that now I'm just like, I may have said this a couple episodes ago where I would just be like, you know, I'll probably listen to something and be like, you know, this album that came out 8 months ago, it's really good, you know. But I gave you guys some stuff. Like, I gave you Dornick and Phony People and Jamie Woon, which I missed. So mad that I missed that show. Yeah. So Kanye, man, some of the stuff it has, it's sonically, the album sounds really good. Like, he was on SNL. There are some moments that I got really like, I got chills, like Ultralight Beam. Like, that opening record is really, like, just powerful. And Chance the Rapper, I mean, they did that song on SNL this past week, and it was just, you know, super compelling. I was just like, oh my God. And then listening to it driving, just really, just the vibe of that shit was just so great. And there's a thing that Kanye brings to music that we don't really get it that much anymore. And I was talking about this to Neil and Jim last week on their podcast, where there just used to be, like, Kanye makes his album releases are events. Like, there's people that are like, I can't wait till Kanye. I'm a God. Why are you making me wait, Kanye? I want to listen to this. I want to listen to your album. Oh, my God. People are, like, just going crazy waiting to listen to this music. And it's an event around it because it's so cold now. Like, I always go back to fucking, like, God, what? 15 years ago. What is it when you're, so I'm 36 now. So what's like, I don't know, like over 20. So nine, shit, 20 years ago, let's say when I was a sophomore in high school, that's when I think I really became a spend most of my money on music. 15, 16 years old, 20 years ago, just going to the store and getting like excited about, like, after school, I'm going to go to Waxy Maxy's. If you're from PG County and you know about Penn Station Mall in Forestville, I guess they call that District, I don't know what they call it now, but Forestville, District Heights, right off of Pennsylvania Avenue, there used to be the Blockbuster and they had a Waxy Maxy's. And just like, oh my, like, I know this album's coming out and I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to get it, and I'm excited. You open it up, the smell of the CD, you open up the liner notes and then you listen to it. I used to have a Sony Discman. I didn't have a stereo. I had like a Sony Discman and I had the two little speakers that you hook up, the left and right, and you hook up, and then I would listen to the music, man, and loved it. And then if my parents weren't home or something, or if I would go to their stereo and hook up the aux, because my dad used to have he had a record player and two tape decks, and I was, you know, man, just fucking, oh, dude, brings back good memories. So now it's so cold, you just download it. You know, sometimes you don't even pay for it. It's just a link, and you click on the link, and you have it, and then you just listen to it. And if it's not, you know, it just no. There's no, like, muscle. There's no, like, you know, it's just not the same anymore. I mean, I still get that. I get excited about, so Kanye is excited. That's, like, super mainstream. Like, all of Twitter is, you know, just in a frenzy over Kanye. Maybe Beyonce, I would say. Beyonce people get excited about. I guess Adele just flashed on the screen. I mean, she, I don't know about that. Adele is famous, but I guess it's because it took her 4 years to come out with something new and everybody was into it. D'Angelo, when he came out after 15 years, people were just like, some people were like, oh. Some people were like shitting on people's fun. Other people were excited. But Kanye is that dude. Like, anybody else really just like, for me, you know, a St. Vincent album comes out, I'm, you know, excited, head over heels, excited to listen to it, see when she's going to do a show, try to check out her show. Foreign Exchange, I get excited about. But it's really few and far between. So it's pretty neat when you can have some semblance of that with Kanye. And there's definitely some epic sound, epic quality. He's always trying to do something different. What is that? He's got a record where he's just kind of doing a freestyle. Is it called Love Kanye? I don't know. But it's just like the one with the old Kanye. Kanye. And he's like rapping about like how, he's rapping about, it's Kanye rapping about, is it Kanye in third person? And he's rapping about himself. And he's just basically talking about how basically he created a style. And it's a lot of dudes that try to be Kanye now. They try to be him. And he's constantly changing his sound, constantly evolving. And I could definitely tell, like, when this album goes, when he tours this album, it's definitely just, it's stadium music. Even more of an epic quality than I would say Graduation had, because that, to me, that was just like blatantly stadium sound. Was that like 07? Yeah, maybe like 07. Yeah, 07. Yeah, it's just a different type of vibe. And it's cool. I don't have any problems with it. I think it's more it's obviously more accessible than Yeezus was, like easy to kind of pick up and listen, you know, off the rip and not really have to, oh my God, what is this music doing to me sonically? You know, I was one of the people that liked it initially. And this is like, oh, I like this. This is cool. This is interesting. It sounds good. All right, I fuck with it. And now a lot of people, I may have said this before, they're walking all those negative comments about it back. And they did that maybe like 2 years ago or something, you know, whatever. So I like it a lot, man. I think it's fine. It's I have to listen to it again to really like break shit down. But I like it for a guy that really doesn't, there's only a few things that excite me. No, I love music so much, but it's hard to get it in my, cause it's hard to get it, I don't know. How do I want to say it? I listen to a podcast a lot more than I listen to music now when I'm driving and stuff. But Kanye's, it'll definitely be in the rotation, you know? I was trying to think of that song. I'll give you the song. There's a song called Grass Ain't Green, and it's by rapper Big Pooh and Knots featuring Blue. That's a good record. And I tweeted it. It's on my timeline. If you follow me on Twitter, at Chris Lamberth, I gave you a link to it. And it's a really good song by Big Pooh and Knots on the beats, and Blue also rhyming. And that's good. It's supposed to serve. It's a free download, and it's supposed to serve as a bonus track to Home Sweet Home. Big Pooh's album that he did entirely produced by Knots, I believe. And that's dope. And also Torre has a video from his album entitled called Clap Shit Up featuring Fonte. And it's just a dope ass bare bones video. Like that song is official as fuck. Like Torre knocks it out of the park, and Fonte just brings it home like Fonte does. I mean, it's like one of the best rappers of all time is singing now, and then he's like, oh, you want me to do a verse, you want me to rhyme on this shit, okay, I'll do it, and fucking just eviscerate the track. And it's amazing. So it's a lot of good music. That's some music recommendations. I think I did recommend Torre's album a couple weeks ago, earlier in the year. So that's cool. That's fun. I'll give you some movie recommendations, and we'll get the fuck out of here, guys. We did pretty good. 48 minutes in. All right. So last week, before the ill-fated Panthers lost to the Broncos, I bought a movie on the Sony PlayStation from the Sony PlayStation store. This movie called Reversion. And this is a movie called, so it's a called Reversion. It's Reversion is a 2015 psychological thriller film about a young woman whose memories of her dead mother are transformed by her father's technology. That's all you need to know. I would say do not buy it. Rent it. Don't spend $15 like I did. It's not a bad movie. I just wanted to buy, because it's like, okay, you pay $7 or $8. I was trying to follow the Andrew Short model, like he was telling me to do when he was on the show, like maybe like late his second time on the show, like late last year. And he was like, you know, you pay $9 to rent it, $6 or $7, and you know, you put a couple more bucks to it, you can buy it. But see, it's a little different, because this is where I still fall into prey. I don't know if I've downloaded this movie. I felt like I did download this movie, and it's mine. I think it's on my hard drive officially. And if I were to disconnect from the internet, I think I would still be able to play it. But Amazon Prime and all these other, I'll get, all right. So Reversion, solid. It's starring Aja Naomi King, and she's a dark-skinned girl on How to Get Away with Murder, a really pretty chocolatey girl. And that's why I bought it. I was like, all right, let me support black actors. You know, let me get this movie. Let me check it out. And it was all right. But it was like, would I buy this? Probably not. So I would say if you're interested, see it. They gave it a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. 4.3 on IMDb, 29% on Rotten Tomatoes, 2 out of 4 on Slant Magazine. It sort of reminded me of Upstream Color slightly. Upstream Color is a better movie. Upstream Color talked about it a couple years ago, maybe like two years ago. A little more accessible. Upstream Color was who wrote that? The same people that gave you Timer. No. See, now I'm going to look this up because I kind of felt like I was going to talk about Upstream Color, but just in the back of my mind, I didn't know that I was going to do Upstream Color. I recommend that. That's really fucking good. Shane Carruth. I want to say Shane Carruth directed it too. But I want to make sure. So I'm looking this up on my phone. My computer's getting really slow. I think it's on its last leg. I think in a month, maybe a couple weeks, I might get a new one. And I really don't want to be saying this in front of my computer because it could hear me. I feel like inanimate objects, like they're so much a part of your life. They're kind of like appendages or just a part. Like if something's wrong with my computer or my iPod. I think you remember one time, almost 2 years ago, when I thought my iPod was dead, and I was just like, most of that episode, I was really sad, or I started off the episode talking kind of sad. Shane Carruth directed this, and he also directed Primer was the name of the other movie that he did. And this one was more accessible. Upstream was more like accessible than Prime. Upstream Color also kind of had a vibe of Inception, if you will. So that puts it like a sci-fi fantasy type thing. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth checking out. I would check it out on Amazon Video or however you watch movies. However you watch, you know, streaming movies. It's not on Netflix or anything. So it's just good to see a black female lead. And she was good. Like, she's this girl, Aja Naomi King, is a good actress. And it's worth seeing. And then I watched another movie that I had wanted to see for quite some time. This movie called Meadowland. Meadowland is, I'll read it. I'm not going to read a blurb because I kind of just, if you see this movie, I just want you to experience it. So this movie, Meadowland, stars Olivia Wilde and Luke Wilson. And it's basically after a tragic event happens, the Luke Wilson and Olivia Wilde, they have to deal with life after a tragic event happens to them early in the film. And it basically shows you how each of those two characters cope with the tragedy. And that's basically it. It's just one of those solid ass independent movies that you're like, I don't know if you'll be completely satisfied. I don't know if you're going to like certain characters, but I know that you'll be like, oh, that was a hell of a fucking performance. You know, it's just kind of one of those. And there were moments where it's just like, if there's a movie like this that just kind of makes me feel something that's like, oh, I hope this does. Oh, don't do that. Don't fucking do it. Like, you're just kind of like, if you're talking to the screen, you're talking to the movie, and you're just like, oh, fuck, please just, oh, God. And then, you know, you're invested. So I was invested in this movie. It's a good performance from Olivia Wilde. You know, this is Brie Larson's year, but I mean, for all the Oscars so white, like, there's just so many, for just somebody that's a fan of movies and fan of film, there's so many dope performances by women or just dope performances in a lot of these movies that it's like, damn, that didn't get any love. But this is just a really, like, bare bones indie film. And I listened to Olivia Wilde talk about this movie on KCRW's The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell. And she was talking about it. And I was like, oh, fuck, I want to see this even more. And this has been on my Amazon watch list for quite some time. So I finally got around to seeing it. And I liked it. So Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%. I don't know about all that. I mean, it was good. IMDb, 6 out of 10. Metacritic, 67%. So this is an above average film with really good acting. A lot of good cameos in it. A lot of strong actors in small parts that make everything a little more, even more believable. So I think it's a good film. And this is the thing. I kind of touched on this with Pete Dominic. It's just like, is this, like, if you buy this movie, so it's $3.99 to rent, I think, on Amazon Prime or however much I paid. Excuse me. However much I paid for this fucking thing. And I was just like, and then it's not $9, but it's just going to be in my library. What if I don't have Amazon Prime anymore? What if I decide not to get it? Do I still keep the movie? Will it still give me, you know, give me access to the movie? I would just rather have it, like, downloaded somewhere. If it's a file that I download and I can have that file and stream it and open it whenever I wanted to, that's the thing that I want that I can't seem to get anywhere. So that's my thing. So I would recommend, soft recommendation on Reversion. It's a rental. Definitely, I would say see Meadowland for Olivia Wilde's performance. I think it's a movie like you've never really seen her before. Usually, she's just kind of like a sultry, cute chick, you know? She's just kind of like window dressing. Not all the time. I mean, she was good on House, and she's like, you know, I think she's hot. But she's a talented actress, man. So I would say see that. And was there anything else I wanted to say? I had some plugs for you. Peyton Manning, all his shit is coming out. All his shit is coming home to roost. So apparently he's an asshole and they got all that stuff covered up. They taking down everybody, man. Don't try to be nice to people and not stick your dick in people's faces unless they ask you to do it, you know? And nobody, like, people are low key saying shit about it, like, but all of it went, but they spent the whole week talking about Cam Newton when he walked out of a press conference after answering a lot of the difficult questions that he, but you know, we all know what that is. It's because he's black. We know what it is. And like I said, hopefully they'll be back. So, oh, and I saw a movie called The Secret in Their Eyes with Julia Roberts, Nicole Kidman, and Chiwetel Ejiofor. A solid movie. The critics shitted on that. It was a movie where they play, shit, are they in the DA? What are they? Secret. God, I'm sorry, you guys. Secret. In Their Eyes, it's on demand. So, rising FBI investigators Ray Chiwetel Ejiofor, Jess, Julia Roberts, along with Claire, Nicole Kidman, Their district attorney supervisor are suddenly torn apart following the brutal murder of Jess's teenage daughter. 13 years later, after obsessively searching for the elusive killer, Ray uncovers a new lead that he is certain can permanently resolve the case and bring long-desired closure to the team. But no one is prepared for the shocking and unspeakable secret that follows. Solid-ass movie. I don't know why the critics shitted on it. 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 42% Rotten Tomatoes, 45% Metacritic. Solid movie. My only gripe is Chiwetel, like, handsome guy, two attractive white women. Nicole Kidman was the object. Like, it's like some unrequited bullshit in the movie. Like, I want him, he needs to get, like, after Z for Zachariah, that pissed me off, and I told you about that. And now this movie, like, he's got to be able to get a woman in one of these new upcoming movies. Why can't he have a woman? If it's not a black, if it's not a white woman, a woman, a pretty woman, handsome guy, pair him with one of these women. None of this unrequited love bullshit. Will Smith did it with Margot Robbie. Maybe that's why they hated Focus. I will go to my grave saying Focus was decent, and maybe I need to see it again. But I'm sticking with that. Put these black men with some white women. If you're not going to do that, cast a black woman and put him with that so you can feel fucking comfortable. Nobody feels comfortable with black people loving each other. The scene in Creed was dope as fuck with him braiding the Tessa Thompson's hair. Let's see that. Let's see something. You know, let's see a little bit of something. Shit. Tired of that bullshit, man. That's some fucking ass. Fucking bullshit. All right. Oh, now you're stopping Tumblr? Come on, man. I wanted to give the people some dates. All right, let me give you some dates. February 17th, I'll be at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City at 10 o'clock p.m. Lucy's Lounge, headlining at Lucy's Lounge in Pleasantville, New York. February 18th, 7:30 p.m. February 22nd, I'll be at Bunga's Den at 8 o'clock p.m. February 25th, I'll be at on Lasers in the Jungle at UCB East, 7:30 p.m. February 28th, I'll be at UCB East again on If You Build It, and yeah, 8 o'clock p.m. Big show. I'm going to be, I just got, just new and big announcement. I got selected, I got asked to be a performer at the High Mud Comedy Festival at Mass Mocha, and that's the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art in North Adams, Massachusetts, at 8 o'clock p.m. March 11th. That's going to be that's the first annual, first time they're doing it, first time your boy got asked to do a festival where they're going to give me money and a place to stay and possibly some food. So big things coming up for your boy. I am seeing Broadway shows. I am getting limited, quasi-limited edition action figures. All I need is, what else? A peace of mind. So there you go. So if you're in the Berkshires, if you're in North Massachusetts, come check me out at the High Mud Comedy Festival. And then a week after that, I will be at headlining Two Laugh Minimum at Steel Stacks in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And then I'll be the following week, I will be at one of my favorite bars in Rockland County, Characters in Sloatsburg, New York, at 9 o'clock p.m. March 25th. Some really good pizza there. Really good room run by the homie Eric Albert from Slaughter Stand Up. So those are some dates. Sorry this pod was late, but I gave you an hour. I rambled for an hour and 2 minutes, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody. Peace.